Three of y'all
agree. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was sitting there. I hate to share this kind of stuff because it's real, I guess. I was sitting there praying for God to show up. I said, God, show up. God, show up. God, show up. Just show up. And I seen God move on my son, and my wife starts tapping me. And I wanted to get up and go to the altar with my son. And I told God, I said, God, I'm his pastor. He said, you stay right there. But then I kind of played a trump card on God. I said, God, I'm his daddy. But then God said, stay there. God whispered back in my ear, said, I'm his God. I can take care of him. He don't always need you, but he'll always need me. Amen. Whew. That's hard. Amen. That's hard. Because you want to fix it if you're a daddy. If you're a real dad, you want to fix it, right? Sometimes you got to let the one that made them fix it. Amen. Whew. Y'all ready? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Before we get there, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 1 just for a moment. We got a little bit of assignment, and I was helping myself and somebody and Peyton earlier in the week, maybe last week, read through this genealogy of Matthew chapter 1 because they were getting prepared for it in their youth class, and I was going through it and with him, and then it jumped on me. So I seen this in it that I'd never seen before. I always said that everybody in the lineage of Christ shared a characteristic of Christ. It's kind of like your family lineage. You got that from your mother. You got that from your grandmother. Y'all follow me? That's your grandfather in you. That's your daddy in you. Stuff like that. Right? So I started seeing that, but then I started really getting into it and pressing into it even more than just some characteristics, maybe even their names. Amen? Everybody that's in the lineage of Christ come out of the tribe of Judah. And they were in the lineage of Judah, and even kings. And there's all kinds of people in there, but I read this one in verse 8, and it said, Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Jehoram. And it's pretty neat when you're reading through the scriptures of the whole Old Testament, you come into Matthew, and when you first get to Matthew, the lineage of Christ is there. The representation of the whole Old Testament is in the lineage of Christ. That'll set in about 40 minutes after the service. But I seen Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat means, his name means, Yahweh will judge. That's what it means. His name means, Yahweh, God will judge. And I wanted to run past that, get y'all over to 2 Chronicles and just preach away. But I want to tell you something here this morning. God is a forgiving God, a loving God, a merciful God. You can say amen anytime you will feel like it. He is a graceful God. But at the end of your life, if you've not met any of those characteristics of God, you will meet a judge of a God. And he will judge righteously. He will judge you fairly. So you better do business with God. And I'm going to preach to the church today like I don't know you. Some of y'all say, why do you do that, Kevin? Because I know some of your issues, and I really don't care about them, but God does. So I'd do you a favor, set your stuff aside and get some help from God today, because I'm going to. Amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it came to pass after this. Y'all reading that with me? It came to pass after this also the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and when them other side of Ammonites, with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there came a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be of the Hazanah Tamara, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I want to stop right here. Could I get somebody in here I hate to do this. God told me to do it, and I was kind of embarrassed to do this to somebody. But can I get somebody up here, preferably a girl between 15 and 20 years old, just somebody that would come up here real quick, just one volunteer that wouldn't be embarrassed to come up here. 15 to 20, that's a big ballpark. 15 to 25. 15 to 30. 15 to 30 years old. All right, God, volunteer. Come up here. God, stay right there, all right? Just stay right there. You got any issues in your life? Some things that scare you come out of nowhere. There's some things, listen, Jehoshaphat, I done this. I don't know. What's your name?
Harley.
Yeah. Thank you for coming up here, Harley. The rest of these people are cowards. We'll give them that at best. Harley's come up here, and I just want to say this. Harley's brave, but there's been times in my life, and I'm sure in Harley's life, and one day in Harley's life, there's going to be some things come along in her life. Somebody, a man on this side, will you come up here and just stand right here, just walk this way. Anybody. All right, one day there's going to be somebody coming, and they're going to have bad news, and he's going to represent death. Hey, somebody going to be in your family. Stand right there. It ain't you. You're just a character in the play. He's going to represent death. That means somebody in your family, they're going to come and they're going to say somebody's died. I hate to tell you that. That's just truth. Harley, you're just representing the whole crowd, not just yourself. Can I get another man to come up down this way? There we go. And he starts coming this way, and all of a sudden, he comes up this way. He's going to represent a bad test at the doctor's office. Amen? Harley, I know you don't believe this right now. You are young. You are beautiful, young, talented, smart, got the whole world ahead of you. But you know what? There's going to be a time, just like everybody else, the doctor's going to say, this ain't good. Amen? Can I get somebody from this side to come up? Just one man, please, just come up on this side. He going to represent a bad relationship. Amen. Anybody in here had a bad relationship? Yeah. Don't laugh at Eli. You've had a few. Amen. Oh, never mind. He represents a bad relationship. You thought it was a good relationship, but it all fell apart. Something's happening. You got aggravation, fighting, fear, anger, struggle, everything. Can I get one more person? Maybe one of you got just one more guy. One more. This represents fear, anxiety, depression. There's going to be times in your life and everybody's life in here. And you know what's happening right now? Harley's surrounded. Harley's surrounded. Y'all get it? Have you ever felt like you're surrounded? This is exactly, she represents Jehoshaphat. She represents the children of Israel. And these men represent one part of another nation who said, you know what? They're kind of weak right now. We're going to show up and we're going to destroy the nation of Israel because it's time to do it. At one point, they represented something good in Harley's life. You ever had something good in your life and all of a sudden it turned bad and it showed up and surrounded you? Thank you very much. You're awesome. Thank you, sis. Y'all may be seated. Hey, God tells me to do some of that because the men in this room, some of y'all can't see it unless you see it. Amen? I can preach it all day long, but until you realize it, why did you have to bring a small girl? Because sometimes you look, she's shorter than most men. Amen? Your problems, and sometimes in life, they look bigger than you. Golly. They impose themselves on you. They get bigger. They look down on you. They look like they're more powerful than you are and more powerful than God is. Has anybody been there? If I'd really truly been obedient to God, I would have had some of y'all shout out some things that's happened to you that would have represented all these people that came up there. Amen? Some of y'all might have said it's a financial thing. A fear of the next thing. You ain't going to be able to feed your family. Keep the lights on. Amen? Some of y'all said, man, I've gotten one bad news after another. My daddy's going down. My mama's going down. Amen? Some of y'all have gotten some news. Just in the, my marriage is falling apart. I'm trying to do everything, and it's still falling apart. I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm coming to church, and things are still mounting up against me. Whew. I wish we had a real audience this morning. Would just stick your hand up every once in a while when I preach it and hit you on the butt and you go, amen. Jehoshaphat was surrounded. He didn't stand a chance. But look what he did. Jehoshaphat in verse 3 said he feared. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout of all of Judah. That means he said, God, I'm turning the flesh off and I'm turning the spirit on. Some of y'all said, I don't have to fast. I'm not asking you to fast. I'm just saying, listen, if it gets serious enough, turn the flesh man off and turn the spirit man on. Listen, what I'm telling you is push your plate into the center of the table and say, I'm not going to eat this meal. I'm going to spend this time when I would be feeding my flesh. I'm going to get somewhere and I'm going to talk to God about this problem or problems. Some of y'all need to change your attitude and approach to God. Matter of fact, can I be really, really honest with you like I don't know you? Some of y'all need to start approaching God. You're asking everybody. You're asking Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You're asking the whole world, but you don't go to the one who created the world. You're asking him what to do. You're asking them what to do, and most of the time, they don't know. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Did you see what Jehoshaphat did? Jehoshaphat removed himself from a platform and stood in the midst. He went like this. Can y'all scoot over just a little bit? I ain't trying to be rude. God, I'm the pastor of this church. But I need you just like everybody else needs you. God, I got big problems too. I'm not somebody on that platform who's perfect and got it all figured out. And God, I don't know what everything's going to happen. I don't know how to control everything. I don't know how to be the husband you want me to be. I don't know how to be the son you want me to be. I don't know how to be the man you want me to be all the time. I've got flaws. I've got failures. God, I'm just like everybody else. Jehoshaphat just turned himself around and sat down amongst the people and said, God, I'm not a king. I'm not a leader. I'm not this. I'm just a man who's surrounded by his problems, his faults, his enemies. God, I need you. Some of y'all need to sit down with other people and say, God, help me. Y'all are fighting a good battle on the outside. You're getting destroyed on the inside. There are no platforms. There are no big I's and little U's with God. The ground is level at Calvary. Everybody comes there equally. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation, verse 6, and said, O Lord, listen to this. O Lord God, our Father, art not thou God in heaven? Sometimes you got to praise him right. Sometimes you got to remind him. You got to remind him for yourself. God, are you not God? Because my God, wish y'all help me preach. Because my enemy's making himself look bigger than you. But since I've got into this fast, since I've got into this prayer, since I've got into the broken place, God, can I tell you that you're God? He said, are you not God? And rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not the power and might so that none of this is able to withstand thee? Amen. God, I'm asking you, are you not God? Not in my camp, but their camp. Not in my life, but their life. God, can anybody, I know they can stand against me, but can they stand against you? And the answer is no. So you got to get your attitude right. You got to start stating some facts that are factual. God is God. Amen. Or art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever. Hey, will y'all ever once in a while remind God what he's done in your life? When the enemy's raging, you got that spot on that update, when you got that heart issue, when you got that cancer diagnosis, when you got that, oh, you're going to just like your mama, just like your daddy, you say, listen. God found me in the hog pen. He dug me out of the pit. I was bound for hell and he rescued me. He loved me when I was unlovable. What are you talking about, devil? I'm not going under. It's impossible. It can't happen. God's in control. God's in control. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein. And for thy name, saying, verse 9, listen, sound familiar to you. If when evil cometh upon us, has evil come upon you? Has it? If you recognize it, go seek the Lord. This is just pure evil. Then guess what? If evil's here, I can go to God about it. Cometh upon you. Has the sword. Is there an enemy in the house? If there is, then guess what? God can get him out. Judgment. Do you feel like judgment? Oh, golly, I'd like to. Can I stay? Yes, Lord, I can stay a while. Can I tell y'all something that you might not be able to handle as a Christian sometimes? God puts judgment upon his people. When you recognize it, that you, it's not the devil, it's not you, it's not some boogeyman. You go like this. You know who this is? You know who's fighting against me? Do you know who's fighting against me? It's God. Amen? What do you do then? You go to the one who's past judgment. God. I love Holy Ghost goose, but I love running and shouting and praising. Amen? But sometimes when God's against you, he's against you to bring you to the right place. You better recognize it. Amen? Recognize it and change course. That means get a hold of the one who's judging you. Or pestilence or famine. Are you sick? For God's sake, are you sick or famine is it? You ain't got no money, got no way, got no sorrow. Why? Because the enemy has taken everything from you. Before the house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thy house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Listen, I hate to tell you this. You're in a good place. You look cool this morning. You look clean. You look sharp. You look nice. Man, and somebody got you here. I don't know who it was. Probably God and some help. But praise God, I don't know how you stayed in the seats as long as you did. I don't know how you kept your hair, your mascara, and all your stuff right. Because God has been in this presence this morning, and you're still sitting there in your mess. You've got everything I just read. You got sickness, you got judgment, you got pain, you got judgment, you got the Lord's against you, you got the world's against you, you got Satan against you, you're broken, busted, and you don't know how to get out of it. You can come up here anytime during the service and say, God, you said if we called upon your name, you will help. Do you need help? Man, you might look better than anybody in here. I mean, you might have got it all together. Everybody go, man, you're beautiful. You look so good, but you're a wreck. If somebody would set 5 minutes where you'd find out right quick, you are a wreck. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. I'm sick. I'm hurting. I'm worried about my mom. I'm worried about my dad. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my future. I'm worried about everything. And praise God, you ain't never attempted to come to this altar and ask God about it. And you wonder why other people do. Never. And now, behold, the children of Amnon and Moab and Mount Zaire, whom Thou wouldest not let Israel invade, he reminded them, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of the own possession which thou hast given. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Did y'all see that in verse 12? O God, wilt thou not judge them? What does his name mean? Jehoshaphat. Yahweh will judge. He's asking, will you judge our enemy? God, will you get involved in the fight? Amen? Listen to this. For we have no might. We have what? Y'all read with me in verse 12. For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We don't have no strength. God, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking at you, Lord. I'm looking at you for the answers. I'm not going to keep looking at the enemy. I'm going to look to you. Amen? And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. God, let this be us. Why do we keep separating our kids from the service? Wait a minute. Why do we keep separating our kids from our worship? Why do we keep separating our kids from our problems and how we seek the Lord? Oh, let me ask. Has your kids ever watched you work stuff out with God? I'm talking about work it out in prayer and weeping and seeking the Lord. See, do you know what happened? They were saying this: if this enemy attacks us from every side, they're going to kill everybody. So you know what we need to do? We need to bring all the kids in the house every once in a while. Oh, never mind. I feel like y'all are mad at me about that, but don't be mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. Let's bring them all in here because it affects us all. They need to see us pray through. They need to see us get a hold of God. They need to see us worship. They need to see that we don't have no strength. We can't figure it out. And we really don't know what to do, but we're seeking the Lord. Sometimes you need to lean over to your kids and say, hey, I don't know what to do, but I'm waiting on God. Amen. And while you're here, you can help me. Because I need childlike faith. Right. I need you to launch a preemptive strike with Daddy. I need you to shoot off a missile with grandfather, grandmother. Well, never mind. I need you to help me. I need you to help me reach God because our lives depend on it. I don't have all the answers, but I know He does. Can you see this? This is the whole nation of Israel. They're all standing out there, kids, big kids, little kids, mom, dad, grandparents, and they're all leaning into the Lord. Waiting. I mean, man, it's almost like this little congregation we got going on right here today. Man, we leaned into the Lord and the Lord said, you can have me if you want me. Yeah. Amen. You can have me if you want me. Verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel. Oh, this is sweet. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levi, the sons of Asaph. God, y'all read this with me. Look at this. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. That's all I want. That's all I'm trying to get done. God, I'm praising you. I'm preaching for you. I'll do whatever. But God, all I want you to do is I want you to know I want you to slide on in. Amen. I want you to slide on in, God. I want you to get a hold. Man, the Holy Spirit came down. God came down. Zael's sitting over there and he's just hanging out. And he hit him. I wonder if he raised his hand. I got a word from God. And he said, who said? Jezeel, through the Holy Spirit. That's what we're missing in this country. We got plenty of speakers. We got plenty of preachers, but we don't have many people who will speak for the Holy Ghost. Amen? We don't have many people who will wait on the Word. People saying all kinds of stuff. But when God speaks up, it sounds different. When God speaks through a man, it sounds different. Whew. Listen to this. And he said, whew, I wrote Holy Spirit right beside that. Do you want to hear what God says? Here's what he says to your problems. Hearken ye, that means listen. All of Judah, that means all of you. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's everybody. And thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. Golly, all those problems, all those issues, all those battles. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Some of y'all need to hear that this morning. The battle is not yours, it's God's. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Some of y'all are still trying to fight the battle. You're trying to fight your addiction. You're trying to fight the cursing. You're trying to fight the pain. You're trying to fight the dog. Listen, the battle's not yours. What if you get whispered? What if God whispers in your ear while you're on this altar praying? The battle's not yours. It's mine. The battle's not yours. It's mine. Some of y'all are praying for marriages. Some of y'all are praying for family members. Some of y'all are praying for people to be saved. Some of y'all brought some people here this morning thinking, man, I hope they get saved. Wouldn't it be something if you went up to the altar, prayed for them, and God said, don't worry, the battle's not yours. The battle's not yours. The battle's not yours. Be not afraid nor dismayed. By reason of this great multitude, this great problem, this great issue, this great trouble, this great fear, this great anxiety, this great pain, this great thing that's come upon you, be not dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. But God's. Some of y'all need to hear, but God's. That's God's battle. Let Him fight for you. Let Him fight for you. I believe there's some people in this altar this morning. They're figuring it out right now. This battle is not for them. It's not theirs. It's God's. It's not yours. It's God's. I love this verse 16. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Praise God. God, you're praying to God today. You're seeking God now. You're seeking Him right now in this altar. But guess what? God is the God of today. And He'll be God tomorrow. Amen. He'll be God in it tomorrow. He's not a Sunday God only. He's not just a church God. He's a Monday God. He's a Tuesday God. He's a Wednesday God. Amen. Listen to this. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Guess what? He says, you can find your enemy. I know where your enemy is. I know where your enemy is. I know where he's hiding. Oh my goodness. Some of y'all need it spelled out. God knows every one of your problems. And He knows where they're at. Amen? Sometimes you feel like God don't know where the problem is. Woo! Amen. Yes. 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 Come on, brother. Come on.
All you gotta do is go and call on Him.
Listen to this. Listen, I want y'all to hear this. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Y'all ready? Verse 18, y'all ready? Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Amen. Now listen, they're praising Him, right? Listen to this. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." Wait, you know what he did? You know what he did? He said, "Stop." They were going to the battle because God had said, "This is where your enemy's at. We're going down there. You are going to win." Y'all good? They're going to battle with a multitude of people. A real battle. A real fight with real weapons. And you know what? You know what Jehoshaphat did? He realized God's promise. He realized it. They were going down there and they were armed and ready to fight. Y'all good? Some of y'all right now are armed and ready to fight. "All right, Lord, show me where that enemy is. I'm ready to stomp it." And on his way, Jehoshaphat said, "Everybody stop." He went around to the front of the group and he said, "Listen, do you want to be established in the kingdom of God?" "Yes." "Do you believe what the Holy Spirit said through the prophets?" "Yes." "Well, let's do something radical." "What are we going to do, Lord? What are we going to do, Jehoshaphat?" "Let's do something radical." Y'all ready? Where was I at? And when he had consulted the people, listen. When he had consulted the people, verse 21, with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." No. Listen what he did. He went and said, "Do we have any singers?" There were some guys in the back. We're like, "Hey, the band's back here. I want the worshipers. God. I want the what? We only have instruments. We don't have weapons. Come on to the front. You ain't gonna need them. God said he's going to fight for us. So all we got to do is praise him all the way to the battlefield." Can we get the singers up to the front? We ain't going to show them our weapons. We're going to show them our worship. We already believe he's won this thing. Could you imagine? Y'all don't... You see all the worshipers coming to the front, passing all the swords and all the horsemen, and they're standing up in the front, and the only thing they're clothed in, the only thing they're armored in, is their worship. They're singing. Listen, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Could you imagine a multitude of army walking down to the battlefield? They're surrounded. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And I mean, they're like, "What's going on?" They're coming with a worship. God. Y'all might lose me right here. Because I love this word. Verse 22. "And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, God, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten." God, y'all don't even know what I just said. And if you're a man, you should love this. God ambushed them. Listen, what an ambushment is when the... God, this is the military, this is the Marine in me. The enemy thinks they got you. They walking right into it and they're thinking, "Man, we got them." Oh, God. But what God does is he sets you in a place where the enemy's going to walk through and they don't even see you, but you see them. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And God is setting his holy angels in ambushments. And right when they get to a place See, an ambushment is set when you can get the most of the enemy. Golly, bum. You don't set an ambush too early, and you don't set it too late. You set it when you can get the most. Man, they some enemies raging in your lives. And they're like, I'm about to get him. I'm about to get her. And God said, no. I'm about to get you. I've let you get this far so I can show my people that if they will praise me, if they will lift an hallelujah in the worst times, then I will set an ambushment on the enemy. I will surprise and dismay their enemies. When they got through, they come down there and they was praising, and God had set the ambushments. And guess what? God, y'all don't even like this kind of stuff. You know what the enemy got to doing? The enemy got to fighting each other. Your cancer was fighting your debt, and your pain was fighting your anxiety, and this problem and that problem. And next thing you know, they got in a fight. Next thing you know, they come over the hill, and Jehoshaphat and his people who are worshiping said, guess what? They're already dead. Man, I wish some of y'all get to, I wish y'all get a hold of this and praise your way home. And the time you get home, your husband might say, I love you still. Wife, I think I still love you. Maybe that kid that's out of control might say, I'm thinking God's doing something. We need some radical faith in the church now. We're living in the darkest times of the world, or so we say so. But we're still trying to patty cake with the devil? I think we need some people who've got some diagnosis and some fear and some dismay going on. Need to come up on this altar, and this will be your prayer. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. That Alzheimer's, that sickness, that death, that pain, that fear. Hey, you ain't going to hold me, devil. You ain't going to scare me into retreat. You made a mistake. I got a hold of God. And the Holy Spirit came down. And since He's came down, I'm going to get a hold of you as we all stand. Say, come get a song. If God spoke to you, come. I don't even know why we're waiting on an altar call. If you got issues in your life, I'm talking about big.